All right, let's go quickly into the Word. Oh my goodness. Very quickly, today I want to talk to you about determined to bless. God is determined to bless you. All right, I'm taking two scriptures. The first one is from Zechariah 8:12, and then later we'll go into the main text. Now, let's read Zechariah first. Ready? For I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. The grapevines will be heavy with fruit, the earth will produce its crops, and the heavens will release the dew. Once more, I will cause the remnant of Judah and Israel to inherit these blessings. Among the other nations, Judah and Israel became symbols of a cursed nation. But no longer. Now I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid. Be strong. Get on with rebuilding the temple. 14. Now this is what the Lord of the heavens army says. I was determined to punish you when your ancestors angered me, and I did not change my mind, says the Lord of the heavens armies. But now I am determined to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. So don't be afraid. Amen. I am determined to bless you. The title today is Determined to Bless. Two people are going to want to get blessed. The rest, I'm already blessed. Don't need. Who wants to be blessed? Yes. Say amen. When you say amen, means let it happen to me. It's for me. All right. So a new season is upon us. He's about to release blessing, favor, and it has already begun. The word says in verse 15, but now I'm determined to bless the people of Jerusalem and the people of Judah. Does not mean the Israelites. It means you and me, the church of God. Amen. It means us. It's time for us to get ready for another level of favor, another level of blessing. Now let's go into the main text of the story. It's from the book of Numbers. Numbers 22 is a story of King Balak and the prophet Balaam. All right? Now, Balak was the king of the Moabites, and he was scared of the Israelites. So what he did was, he engages this prophet, this backslidden prophet called Balaam, to come and curse Israel. Okay? He said, just curse them. So that's the background. And this prophet is backslidden. He's totally not for God. He's against God, but he still can prophesy. God's gift was still with him, because the gifts of God are irrevocable. Funny, isn't it? God gave him the gift. He still can prophesy, but he's backslidden. Okay? Because God's grace. So, they come and visit this prophet and they say, go and curse Israel. First thing that happens in verse 9 is God asks Balaam, the prophet, who are they? Who are these men visiting you? These Moabites who came and visit you. All right? Now, why did God ask Balaam, who are they? You think God don't know who are they? God knew who are these people. God knew their intention. But yet, he asked Balaam, do you know who are they? He wanted him to realize, why are you talking to these people? Why are you entertaining these people? The enemies of God, the enemies of God's people. He's asking him indirectly, because he comes and says, because let me rewind a little bit. When they come and see him, he says, stay with me. Stay with me and I will go and ask God what he wants to say. They come and tell him, ready, I want you to curse. He said, wait first, let me go and ask God. Okay. So when God asks Balaam, who are they? He's asking him, why did you let them stay? Why didn't you chase them off? Now, the enemy comes into our life like this. Compromise. Little by little. When we allow things to come and stay. When we compromise. When you know you're not supposed to do, yet you do. Hello? When we put people down, when we compromise, it's in little by little the enemy comes in. He was not even supposed to entertain them. Don't entertain the enemies of God. You know you're not supposed to, but you just lie on a little bit. Maybe it was a prestige thing. Maybe it was an honor. Or the king's people came and looked for me. They came all the way to look for me. I must be a somebody. That's how the enemy gets you sometimes. Make you feel like you're a somebody. You want to be seen. You desire to be important. So today, God is asking you, who are they, so to speak? What have you allowed in your life you have willingly permitted to come in and stay with you that is not supposed to be there. It is not part of your destiny, not part of God's calling of your life, but you have allowed it to come in. Wrong relationships, addictions, compromise. Who are they? What are they? Because in this season, God is determined to bless you. Amen. Because I'm determined to bless you, He's also calling for a consecration. People who will live holy and righteous lives before the Lord. Amen. We're not meant to live as the world. And it's not us against the world. We are in the world, but we're living for God. Amen. We are in the world, being salt and light, being holy, righteous, consecrated unto the Lord. Because the Lord in this season is determined to bless you. Amen. Let's live without compromise. Without compromise. Because when God blesses you, the enemy gets very irritated. It does not like that. It does not like you enjoying life with your family. It does not like you rejoicing in the Lord day by day, giving Him glory, giving Him praise. It does not like that. But God is determined to bless you. He's determined to bless you. Now, the second thing God says in verse 12, He says, do not go with them. He says, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on them because they are blessed. Amen. When God bless you means you are blessed. I am determined to bless you means you are blessed. Nothing can stop you. The only way to stop you is if you choose disobedience. I'll talk about that later. So God says to Balaam, do not go with them. All right. Now Balaam gets disappointed. You can almost hear in his reply. In verse 13 he says to the Moabites, he says, go back to your own country for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. When you say it like that, what you're saying is, actually, I want to go with you. But the Lord refused to let me go with you. It's like a kid wants to go out with the friends. I want to go, but my mommy refused to let me go with you. When I was young, I followed my dad for a camp. He was speaking at a camp in Genting Highlands. And at night, me and the guys there wanted to go swimming, night swimming, late at night after service, after message, everything. I asked my father, can or not? He said, no, cannot go. I asked again, can or not? Let me go. I want to go and hang out with the guys. No, cannot go. So I did what every good, obedient teenage boy would do. I waited for him to sleep, then I went. I went swimming. And until 3 something in the morning, sneak back in the room, come back, quietly sleep, the perfect crime. Dad was still sleeping. But the next morning while preaching, he said, oh, everybody's having fun in the camp. Last night, I know Jonathan went swimming with you guys. He left his wet clothes all on the floor. You think I don't know? So much for the perfect crime. But I wanted to go even though he said no. Same thing with Balaam. He wanted to go even though God said no. And then King Balak sends more numerous and more distinguished people. And he says, I'll reward you handsomely if you come and curse Israel. Then Prophet Balaam says, even if you give me all the silver and gold in your palace, I will not go. Wow. I can only say what God asked me to say. Full power. But he didn't finish there. He said, but you know what? Wait, let me go and check again one more time. If he left it at that, it was fine, fantastic. But he said, let me check one more time. Ask God one more time I can go or not. See, the silver and gold and the recognition and the handsome reward was too much for him. He cannot sleep at night. He's thinking about all these things. Wow, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that. God, let me go. Please, I want to go. Let me go. Let me go. He went and asked God one more time. He wanted God to change his mind. How many times we are like that? We want God to change his mind. We want this thing so bad. God said no, but God, please. Please. I really want to go. I really want this thing. God said no, it is not good for you, son. It's not good. I want. You want God to change his mind. God already closed a chapter of your life. He already closed a door in your life. God already, in fact, he told you it is finished. You get angry with the Lord. You want this thing that you cannot let go. Wrong relationship. God says, it's not the right person for you. God, I want this person. It's the wrong dream that you have. You let that dream die, I will give you a better dream. I want this thing. Let it go. Maybe it's an old habit. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Cannot let go. You're holding on so tightly. Maybe it's a soul ties, a toxic relationship that you cannot let go. The relationship is toxic already, but you cannot let go. Saul was a king, and David was a fugitive. Saul was chasing him down, trying to kill the new upcoming king, right? You know that one. And in 1 Samuel 23:16-18, it says this, Jonathan, Saul's son, visited David and Horesh and encouraged him in God. He says, don't despair. My father Saul can't lay a hand on you. You will be Israel's king and I'll be right at your side to help. And my father knows it. And the two of them made a covenant before Lord, before God, and David stayed at Horesh and Jonathan went home. Now, Jonathan said, David, you will be king and I will be at your side. Right? That was the plan. He knew that was God's plan. He knew that was what was supposed to happen. But he cannot let go of his father. Cannot let go of the father, the soul ties, this relationship that he's had. Oh, Jonathan, what are you saying? That means David became more important. No, Jesus puts it like this in Matthew 10:27. He says, if you love father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Whew. If you love your son or your daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Hello? Of course, we love them, we pray for them, but the priority is always be the Lord. And the Lord's call over your life. And the Lord's plan for your life. Jonathan missed his destiny because of this. Don't miss your destiny because of this. If God closes a door, move on. Amen? Very quiet. Amen. What else? An addiction. Addiction. Give it to the Lord. Surrender it. What else? Your broken heart. Surrender it to the Lord. Lord, I can't heal this thing, this pain. I cannot. No matter how I try to overcome, I cannot overcome this trauma. Bring it to the Lord. Psalms 147, it says, he heals the broken hearted. He binds up their wounds. Bring your broken heart to him. Bring your wounds for him to heal. He will heal you because he's determined to bless you. Amen. Amen. So back to Balaam. Balaam. So God says, move on. It is finished. And he says, let me ask again. And in verse 20, it's very funny. Things change. God says, in verse 20, let's look at that. That night God came to Balaam and told him, since this man have come for you, get up and go with them. But do only what I tell you to do. Funny, isn't it? At first God said no, now God said, just go. Now parents have the ability to talk to their children with the eyes without saying anything. You look at it, you know, oh, Papa is angry at me after this finish. My dad said, when the kids were naughty, when playing around in the house and we had guests over, he'll be smiling, but his eyes will say, I'm going to kill you. Murder. He's smiling, but murder. Kids will understand the parents' eyes. After this, I go back, finish. We all, and then you become parents, you also have that ability. And then when you get married, your wife has that ability. The eyes. You don't think I'm not looking at the area of my mana? No eye contact. Sometimes she say, go, you want to go? Go lah. Don't go. It's a trap. It's a trap. You are... What I'm trying to say is when you have the relationship, you understand what your wife is trying to say. Oh, you want to go out with your guy friends again? Go. If you go, what happens? So this time God says to him, you want to go? Go. Go. He had a relationship with God. You know, he's a prophet of God. God speaks directly to him. You think he doesn't know what God wants? He knew. And yet, he went. Now, verse 21, the next day, in the morning, he saddled his donkey and he went. But God was very angry when he went. God is not bipolar. Suddenly, today I'm happy, you go, tomorrow angry. No, he's like the wife. I said, go, you go. It's the same thing, same principle. He was very angry and he went, he sent an angel to block him on the road with a drawn sword. The donkey, God opened the donkey's eyes, the donkey could see the angel. The donkey turned to the left because he knows if he goes straight, the angel is going to kill him, kill Balaam. He turns. Balaam gets mad. He whacks the donkey. Then the donkey turns to the other side. He hits a wall. He crushes Balaam's leg. Balaam, so angry, hits the donkey. And then at the end, the donkey comes down and he just lays on the ground and stays there. And again, he hits the donkey and God opens the donkey's mouth. The donkey can talk, just like the movie. And he says, why have you hit me 3 times? I'm not going to do the accent, the Shrek accent. What you doing over there? So he says, well, it was bad, never do that again. But he says, why have you beaten me for 3 times? He said, because I've been a good donkey for so long. Have I ever done something like that to you? Why are you beating me? He says, I'm so angry with you, I could kill you right now. Right at that moment, God opens his eyes and he sees the angel. He sees the angel standing with the sword drawn, ready to kill him. Which brings me to the third point. Warning before judgment. Before God sends judgment or correction into our lives, he always gives us warning. He does not suddenly come and judge you, suddenly come and chastise you, suddenly comes with a punishment over you. No, he always gives us warning, warning, warning. He is a good God. Learn to be sensitive to what God says. If he says no, if he pushes you off course a little bit, here and a bit there, he is speaking to you. Learn to listen. He gives us many chances to repent, to reconsider your ways, to change your path, get on the right path. If you keep trying to pursue what God says no to, you're going to miss what he has planned for you. Amen. Learn to obey. Learn to heed the warnings before the pain comes. Amen? Amen? We need to submit to His will. We need to submit to His will. When I was young, I talk a lot of stories about when I was young. I'm still young. But when I was younger, I used to like this girl. Okay? My parents said no. Even my friend said she's not the one for you. But I'm stubborn. I still like her. I still want to go for her. But, okay, let's cut the story short. So, at the end, I put a stop to it, right? At the end, I stopped it. And then, not long after that, I met my wife, the wonderful worship leader here, Shailene C.C. Winans, this morning. But, technically, I did not meet my wife after we broke up, right? We grew up together. We went kindergarten together. We worship lead in the church together. We sang at wedding specials together. But I was the donkey that God not yet opened the eyes. The moment that one ended, I finally obeyed God, walked in His will. God also told me no. When I go for prayers, God also tell me no, no, no. Even the preacher come and pray for me, Jonathan, let go, it is finished. But I'm still stubborn. But the moment I obeyed, God opened this donkey's eyes. And I saw the angel. Thank God, got no sword. But got mother-in-law. So, oh, my mom likes that. So, some of you ladies thinking, when is that donkey's eyes going to open? But at the right time, He opened my eyes. Learn to trust God. Be obedient now because He's determined to bless you. If He says no, then because He has the best for you, the very best for you. Now back to Balaam's story. So the king took Balaam where he could see the outskirts of Israel. And he said, okay, curse them. Balaam opens his mouth and he starts to bless them. Bless Israel. How beautiful are your tents. He bless, bless, bless. And then the king said, what are you doing? I brought you here to curse them. And then they say, okay, let's try again. This time, I take you to a place where you can see the whole camp already. Takes him to another spot. Okay, curse. I'm going to pay you. He opens his mouth and starts to bless Israel again. Fantastic story. Because God is determined to bless you. Amen. He blesses him again. And then the king says, what on earth are you doing? I'm paying you to curse. If you don't want to bless, just keep quiet. If you keep quiet, it'll be fine. But you open your mouth and you bless them. Let's try one more time. One more time we try. So they go up to a mountain somewhere. They stand over a mountain. Now they can see everything clearly. Okay, this is your one shot, one opportunity. Curse them. Balaam opens his mouth and blesses Israel again. He blesses Israel again. When God is determined to bless you, the enemy can never curse you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I am determined to bless you. Amen. So he failed. The king gets upset. They part ways. He goes back. Balaam doesn't get paid. But now here's the thing. Later on, this backslidden prophet teaches King Balak how to curse. There's a loophole. How he does it is, teach them to sin. The only way I can allow the curse to come in is, get these people to sin. Send the women in. Get them to commit sexual immorality. The prophet is teaching the king, you know, and he does it. And he does it. And it worked. He taught Balak how to entice the Israelites to sin. Get them into sexual sins with the Moabite woman. Start worshipping their gods. It says in Revelation 2:14, there are some among you who hold on to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin. So they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. What I'm saying is, when the enemy cannot curse you, he will cause you to curse yourself by compromising. Hello? God is already for us. He wants to bless you. He's determined to bless you. But when we allow compromise to come in, we allow sin to come in, when we go against Him, when we disobey, the enemy comes in. When we don't believe in Him, don't believe in His word anymore, we take it for granted, we allow the enemy to come in. You are children of the Most High God. God is determined to bless you. So do not give in. Amen. In this season, let's not compromise. Constantly be with Him. Put God first. Obey Him. Trust in Him. He is so good. And He never ever fails us. He will never fail us. Amen. Now my wife was working as a manager. And we know this job is a blessing. It's an open door from God. It was a supernatural breakthrough, fantastic. And she got this job and she was working. But it's special project. Special project is something like Alam Flora. Everybody's rubbish. She got to pick up. She got to do everything. And at one point, the thing got too much. Too much. And she was praying what to do. We know this is an open door. We know this is a blessing. What to do. And whenever we prayed about it, we always felt that God asking her to just stay, be faithful, keep doing it. Keep doing it, keep doing it. And we went for church camp. Last year, church camp. Who came for church camp? This year. Who came for church camp? Yes. It was in Ipoh. Next year, make sure you come for church camp. And Pastor Allen was talking about Barnabas. How Barnabas spoke up for Paul. When the Jews didn't trust Paul, Barnabas spoke up for Paul, gave him a way to come in. Now, we came back to work. She came back to work. Her boss pulls her aside, says, I want to talk to you. Come to my office today. The boss speaks to her. They say, there's a new position, new opening. I'm sorry, I didn't even think about your name, but somebody recommended you to me. You didn't even cross my mind, not because you're not qualified. I was just so busy, I didn't consider you. But this person mentioned your name to me, and my wife was so happy. Wow, I have a Barnabas who spoke for me. And she said, prepare for the interview, get your stuff all ready, and submit your resume, apply for this position. And my wife does it. Cut the long story short, my wife got the job. All right? Praise God. Key position. After she got the job, she asked the boss, okay, who is the person who recommended me? She wants to know who the Barnabas is. And the boss said, it was the Holy Spirit. What? Holy Spirit. The boss is a born-again Christian. She was praying and asking God, who shall I put for this role? I need somebody for this role. Who do I put? And God name dropped my wife into her. And she like, wow, all glory to God. So when you got nobody to speak up for you, the Lord Himself speaks up for you. When He is determined to bless you, He will bless you. It's not who you know, how many connections you got, how great your network is. Our greatest network and the person we know is up there. He can move mountains for you. Amen. When we obey, keep trusting Him. Don't quit when things get tough. Trust Him. Trust Him. Push on. Amen. And whenever God says, don't be afraid, it's because He is with you. He is with you. I'm in verse 15. Let's revisit that again. Yeah, I'm determined to bless you, to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. And then He says, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When He says, don't be afraid, it means I am with you. Why is this important? Let's look at Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. Psalm 23:4, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Matthew 14:27, the disciples were in a storm, and they saw someone. They thought it was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. If God says, do not be afraid, it's because I am with you. Now, we don't really understand the weight of this sentence, I am with you. If I am with you, that means all of heaven's resources, all of heaven's blessings is backing you up. If I am with you means the waters of the Red Sea will part for you. If I am with you means waters in the desert will spring up. If I am with you means miracles will happen. He makes the way. If I am with you means you can go through the hardest, most difficult time and come out strong. The moment when God says, I am with you. The best place we can be is when He says, I am with you. There's a lot of power in that. Amen. If you don't have that assurance, that I am with you, assurance, is He really with me? I recommend that you come and get it. You must have that assurance. Is He really with me? I want to know for sure that He is with me. Because guys, we can be Christians for many years and we can lose that I am with you presence of God. It's so easy to lose His presence. When Jesus was 12 years old, His own parents lost Him at the Passover festival. And they took 3 days to find Him. They lost Jesus. We can lose His presence sometimes. David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. What does that mean? That means our Holy Spirit, He can take it from us sometimes. Sometimes. Don't get me wrong. He's always there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But that's His omnipresence. The I am with you presence is, I approve of you. I am fighting for you. I am always with you. I'm going for you. It's different. It's different. It's like when Samson had the power of God, right? Great, mighty, strong. And then one day he lost it. And he shook himself thinking he still had the power. And God was not there anymore. The I am with you presence was not there anymore. But later when he prayed and he asked God for a second chance and God gave him the presence again, that was his I will never leave you nor forsake you presence. The omnipresence is always there with us. Amen. But when He says, I am with you, it means I approve of you. I am for you. The most important thing you can have is the assurance of Him saying, I am with you. I am with you. Musicians, team can come up. So come to Him because He's determined to bless you. He's determined to bless you. Come, let's stand, everybody. Let's just stand up together.